Meditations and readings for every day of the year, selected from the Spiritual Writings of St. Alphonsus Maria, Volume 1, Part 1, edited by John Baptist Coyle, CSSR. December the 27th, morning meditation, and with him there is plentiful redemption. Great has been the sin of man, but greater, the apostle says, has been the gift of redemption. Not as the offense, so also the gift. It was not only sufficient, but superabundant, and with him plentiful redemption. I love thee, O infinite goodness. I love thee, O most lovable God. Point 1. Be comforted, my people, saith your God. Speak ye to the heart of Jerusalem, for her evil has come to an end. The reason is, God himself has discovered a way of saving man, while at the same time his justice and his mercy shall both be satisfied. Justice and peace have kissed. The Son of God has himself become man, has taken the form of a sinner. He appeared to take away our sins, says St. John. He presented himself before his heavenly Father and offered himself to pay for mankind, and then the Father sent him on earth to take the appearance of sinful man and to be made in all things like to sinners, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And St. Paul adds, and of sin condemned sin in the flesh. God, therefore, in order to save mankind and at the same time to satisfy the claims of his justice, was pleased to condemn his own Son to a painful life and a shameful death. And can this be true? Jesus Christ himself affirms it. God so loved the world as to give his only begotten Son. What? A God condescends to love men? Miserable worms who have been rebellious and ungrateful towards him, and to love them to such an extent as to give his only begotten Son, one whom he loved as much as himself? Not a servant, not an angel, not an archangel did he give, but his own Son. He gave him to us lowly, poor, despised. He gave him into the hands of slaves to be treated as a miscreant, even to be put to death, covered with shame, on an infamous gibbet. Oh, grace! Oh, the strength of the love of God! Exclaimed St. Bernard. Oh, my Redeemer and my God, and who am I that thou shouldest have loved me and still continuest to love me so much? What hast thou ever received from me that has obliged thee so to love me? What, except slights and provocations, which were a reason for thee to abandon me and to banish me forever from thy face? But, O Lord, I accept of every penalty except this. Pardon me, O my beloved infant, for I am sorry with my whole heart. O Mary, my mother, thou art my hope and the refuge of sinners. Point 2. Say to the faint-hearted, take courage and fear not. God himself will come and will save you. Be no longer in despair, O poor sinners. What fear can you have that you will not be pardoned when the Son of God comes down from heaven to save you? If you cannot by your own works appease an offended God, behold one who can appease him. This very infant whom you now see reposing on straw and weeping, he with his tears propitiates him. You have no ground for being sad any more, says St. Leo, on account of the sentence of death fulminated against you, now that life itself is born for you. Nor is there any lawful reason for sadness when it is the birthday of life. And St. Augustine, O sweet day for penitence, Today's sin is taken away, and shall the sinner despair? If you are unable to render due satisfaction to the divine justice, look on Jesus, who does penance for you. Already does he commence to do it in this little cave, and he will persevere in doing penance all his life, and finally bring it to an end only on the cross, to which, according to St. Paul, he affects the decree of your condemnation, canceling it in his own blood, blotting out the handwriting of the decree that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he hath taken the same out of the way, fastening it to the cross. Pardon me, O my beloved infant, for I am sorry with my whole heart for every single displeasure I have given thee. O Redeemer, and Redeemer again and again of my soul is now enamored of thee and loves thee. Thou hast loved me above measure, so that, overcome by thy love, I could no longer resist his winning appeals. I love thee then, O infinite goodness. I love thee, O most lovable God. Do thou never cease to enkindle more and more in my heart the flames of a fiery darts of love for thy own glory. Cause thyself to be greatly loved by one who has greatly offended thee. O Mary, assist a poor sinner who desires to prove faithful to God. Help me to love him and to love him exceedingly. Spiritual reading. On the Advantages of the Religious State, Part 2, Caudet, Rarius. The religious falls more rarely. Religious are certainly less exposed to the danger of sin than seculars. Almighty God represents the world to St. Anthony and before him to St. John the Evangelist as a place full of snares. Hence the Holy Apostle said that in the world there is nothing but the concupiscences of the flesh, that is, carnal pleasures, the concupiscences of the eyes, or earthly riches, and the pride of life, or worldly honors, which swell the heart with pride. In religious, these places and sources of sin are cut off by the holy vows, for by the vow of chastity a religious bids adieu to the pleasures of sense, by the vow of poverty the desire of riches is eradicated, and by the vow of obedience, the ambition of empty honors is extinguished. It is indeed possible for a Christian to live in the world detached from its goods, but he who handles pitch, as the saying is, easily blackens his hands. The whole world, says St. John, is seated in wickedness. St. Ambrose, in his comment on this passage, says that they who remain in the world live under the miserable disposium of sin. The atmosphere of the world is noxious and pestilential for the soul, and he who breathes it easily catches some spiritual infirmity. Human respect, bad example, and evil conversations are powerful incitements to earthly attachments and to estrangement of the soul from God. Everyone knows that the damnation of numberless souls is attributable to the occasions of sin so common in the world. From these occasions, religious who live in the retirement of the cloister are far removed. Hence, St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi was accustomed to embrace the walls of her convent, saying, "O blessed walls, O blessed walls! From how many dangers do you not preserve me?" Hence also, Blessed Mary Magdalene Orsini, whenever she saw a religious laugh, used to say, "Laugh and rejoice, dear sister, for you have reason to be happy, being far away from the dangers of the world." Section 3. Surgit Velocias. A religious rises more speedily. If a religious should be so unfortunate as to fall into sin, he has, at least, the most efficacious helps to rise again. His rule, which obliges him to frequent the Holy Sacrament of Penance, his meditations, in which he is reminded of the eternal truths, the good example of his companions, and the reproofs of his superiors, are powerful helps to rise from his fallen state. Woe, says the Holy Ghost, to him that is alone, for when he falleth, he hath none to lift him up. If a secular forsake the path of virtue, he seldom finds a friend to admonish and correct him, and therefore he easily remains in his fallen state. But in religion, if one falls, he shall be supported by the other. If a religious commits a fault, his companions assist him to correct and repair it. He, says St. Thomas, is assisted by his companions to rise again. Section 3. Incedit cautius. A religious walks more cautiously. How much greater are the spiritual advantages enjoyed by religious than those of the first princes or monarchs of the earth? Kings, indeed, abound in riches, honors, and pleasures. They have soldiers and lords to serve them, but they have no one who will dare to correct their faults or to point out their duties. All abstain from alluding to their defects through fear of incurring their displeasure, and to secure their esteem, many even go so far as to applaud their vices. But should a religious go astray, he has many eyes upon him to correct him. His superiors and companions in religion will not fail to admonish him and to point out his danger, and even the good example of his brother will remind him continually of the transgression into which he has fallen. Surely a Christian who believes that eternal life is the one thing necessary should set a higher value upon these helps to salvation than upon all the dignities and kingdoms of the earth. As the world presents to seculars innumerable obstacles to virtue, so the cloister holds out to religious continual preventatives against sin. In religion, the great care which is taken to prevent light faults is a strong bulwark against the commission of grievous transgressions. If a religious resists temptations to venial sin, he merits by that resistance additional strength to conquer temptations to mortal sin. But if, through frailty, he sometimes yields to them, all is not lost, the evil is easily repaired. Even then, the enemy does not get possession of his soul. At most, he only succeeds in taking some important outpost from which he may be easily driven, while by such defects, the religious is taught the necessity of greater vigilance and of stronger defenses against future attacks. He is convinced of his own weakness and being humbled and rendered diffident of his own strength. He recurs more frequently and with more confidence to Jesus Christ and His Holy Mother. Thus, from these falls, the religious sustains no injury, since as soon as he is humbled before the Lord God, stretches forth His almighty arm to raise him up. When he shall fall, he shall not be bruised, for the Lord putteth His hand under him. Such victories over his weakness contribute in some way to inspire greater defiance in himself and greater confidence in God. Blessed Egidius of the Order of St. Francis used to say that one degree of grace in religion is better than 10 in the world, because in religion it is easy to profit by grace and hard to lose it, while in the world grace fructifies with difficulty and is easily lost. Evening Meditation, Jesus in Swathing Bands, Point 1. Imagine that you see Mary, having now brought forth her son, take him reverently in her arms, adore him as her God, and then wrap him up in swathing bands. She wrapped him up in swaddling clothes. The Holy Church says the same. His tender limbs in swathing bands, the Virgin Mother binds. Behold the infant Jesus, who obediently offers his little hands and feet and allows himself to be swathed. Consider how every time the Holy Infant allowed himself to be swathed, he thought of the cords with which he would one day be led captive in the garden, and of those also which would bind him to the pillar, and of the nails which would fasten him to the cross. And thinking of these things, he willingly allowed himself to be bound in order to deliver our souls from the chains of hell. Bound then in these swaddling clothes and turning to us, Jesus invites us to unite ourselves closely to him with the sweet bonds of love. And turning to his eternal Father, he says, My Father, men have abused their liberty and rebelling against thee, have made themselves the slaves of sin, but I, to make satisfaction for their disobedience, am willing to be bound and confined in swathing bands. Bound with these, I offer thee my liberty, in order that man may be delivered from the slavery of the devil. I accept these bands. They are dear to me, because they represent the cords with which, from this moment, I offer myself to be one day bound and led to death for the salvation of men. And what fear can I have of thy chastisements, O my beloved infant, now that I see thee in these swathing bands, depriving thyself, so to say, of the power of raising thy hand to punish me? Thou dost give me to understand by these bands that thou wilt not chastise me if I will loose myself from the chains of my vices and bind myself to thee. Yes, my Jesus, I resolve to free myself. I repent with all my heart of having separated myself from thee by abusing that liberty which thou hast given me. Thou dost offer me another and a nobler liberty, a liberty which delivers me from the chains of the devil and places me among the children of God. Point 2. His bands are a healthful binding. The bands of Jesus were the healthful binding to heal the wounds of our souls. Therefore, O my Jesus, thou didst will to be wrapped in swathing bands for the love of me. O love, how great is thy bond which could bind a God. O divine love, thou alone couldst make my God thy prisoner. And shall I then, O Lord, refuse to have myself bound by thy holy love? Shall I for the future be so unfaithful as to loose myself from thy sweet and amiable chains? And for what? To make myself a slave of hell? O my Lord, thou remainest bound in this manger for the love of me. I desire always to remain bound to thee. Saint Mary Magdalene de Pazzi used to say that the bands which we ought to take are a firm resolution of uniting ourselves closely to God by means of love, detaching ourselves at the same time from all affection for anything that is not God. For this reason also it seems that our loving Jesus has allowed himself to be, as it were, bound and a prisoner in the most holy sacrament of the altar under the sacramental species, that he might see his beloved souls made also prisoners of his love. Thou hast given thyself up to be imprisoned in these bands for the love of me. I will be a prisoner of thy immense love. O blessed chains, O beautiful emblems of salvation, which unite souls to God, bind also my poor heart. But bind it so fast that it may never in future be able to disengage itself from the love of this sovereign good. My Jesus, I love thee. I bind myself to thee. I give thee my whole heart and my whole will. No, I will never leave thee again, my beloved Lord. O my Savior, who to pay my debts, didst will not only to be wrapped by Mary in swathing bands, But even to be bound as a criminal by the executioners, and thus bound, go through the streets of Jerusalem, to be led to death as an innocent lamb to slaughter. O thou who didst will to be nailed to the cross, and didst not come down from it until thou hast given up thy life upon it, permit me not, I beseech thee, ever to separate myself again from thee, so as to see myself once more deprived of thy grace and of thy love. O Mary, who didst bind in swathing bands this thy innocent son, bind me also, a miserable sinner, I pray thee, bind me to Jesus, so that I may never again leave his feet, that, bound to him, I may always live and die thus bound, in order that I may have the happiness to enter into that blessed country, where I shall no longer have the power and no longer the fear of separating myself from his holy love.